KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. With 3 weeks left until Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are virtually tied in the polls, with one having lopsided support of one voting group, says ABC's Rachel Scott.
Out on the campaign trail, Donald Trump often brags about appointing three of the Supreme Court justices who supported overturning Roe versus Wade. Now he realizes all that could be a political liability for him. Polls show that Vice President Kamala Harris still has an edge with female voters, and in this final stretch, Trump is struggling to close that gap.
More military aid for Ukraine announced by the Pentagon today, including air defense capabilities, air-to-ground weapons, munitions for rocket systems, and more. A small group of North Korean soldiers fighting with Russian forces in Ukraine have deserted, says a Ukrainian source to ABC News. A Minnesota school district has banned a police officer from working as a substitute teacher after it says there were some actions that included a reenactment of the George Floyd killing. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee have ended their week-long strike. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee machinists and Molson Coors have reached a deal. Both the company and the union are expressing satisfaction with the new 3-year agreement. Specific terms have not been made public. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The number of absentee ballot drop boxes has gone way down in Wisconsin from 4 years ago. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there were more than 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Now she can only confirm about 78 of them in 42 communities. While that is a steep drop, the number could be higher because there is no requirement for the state's 1,850 local election officials to report the use of drop boxes, according to Wolf. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Had a fun, entertaining conversation in a parking garage of a hospital today that got me thinking that we really are in different worlds. A red hat, just a guy I met in the waiting in the parking garage, regaled me with tales of voter fraud and how this time Democrats are again going to steal the election. And look, I couldn't help but think of Ronald Reagan and his quote, throwing shade at liberals. He said his quip was, it isn't so much that liberals are ignorant, it's just they know so many things that aren't so. That was his line. It was a good little shot. But I'm going to amend that because I do think Trump supporters are ignorant. I've gotten to that point now because so many of them have doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on this, on the election was stolen. We know they did it. And in the stories they tell, universal. And it's because it's been, drilled into them. My favorite one, he won on election. He won Pennsylvania on election night. And you go, yeah, because they only counted half the votes. If you would have listened to the show, back in, September of that year, you would have heard me say, they're going to use this as the big lie. Because on election night, only Republicans are going to show up as an act of defiance. Everybody else who says, you know what, maybe we don't spread that COVID thing around, they're going to use a mail-in ballot. And Pennsylvania's law, you can't start counting those till Election Day. You knew it was going to take a week or more to count them all. So you knew Trump was going to finish out that Tuesday with a big lead. And as the days went by, it would narrow, narrow, narrow until he was going to lose. And I called that months before the election, but it's still the belief. And, you know, you had that kangaroo court thing that Doug Mastriano did, where they held this hearing, put nobody under oath, mind you. Rudy Giuliani held the phone, and Donald Trump just rambled on for like an hour about how all these fantastical claims of, you know, people with thumb drives and just really amazing stories, none of which really ever made them into a court of law. And I always found it interesting that, you know, Sidney Powell, a very talented lawyer, a very smart lawyer, smart enough not to lie, smart enough not to go into court and perjure herself on something that she clearly must have known was a lie because she didn't repeat it in court. And, you know, I got the, you know, they were driving truckloads of ballots around, you know, they were just all over the place. And in fact, Trump himself, if I remember right, tweeted out a video of a Fox interview with a truck driver who claimed, you know, he'd been driving around. He didn't know any better. But somehow he was transporting these mail-in ballots. And, well, didn't turn out to be true. Didn't turn out to have anything supported by evidence. But the belief structure, you know, the whole, Hugo Chavez hacked into his voting machines, the Dominion machines, and the Venezuelans rigged the election, even though Chavez was dead years before. You know, Chavez wasn't in his basement doing this stuff, but the belief is there. This blind faith that, you know, there all these non-citizens. My favorite, and this guy threw this out at me. You know, Donald Trump won, you know, 2016 popular vote. I'm going, no, he didn't. He won the 2020 popular vote as well. It was just they had all these illegals. And I'm going, do you really believe that? Do you not know the demographics of the states and the math? And the answer is no. And this is where I go back to, I'm going to amend Reagan's comment to there's some ignorance going on here. Wish it weren't so. Wish it weren't true. But kind of seems like it. Holding on to this blind faith belief that there's no way dear leader can lose. That everyone agrees with him. You know, I saw the, on Monday night, he did this disco, I don't know what it was. Maybe he thought he was Dick Clark, hosting a dance party. Maybe he thought it was Night Train. I don't know. But he holds this event. And then on the back, you know, Trump was right about everything. And you go, no, not really. not about much. Aside, did you see Monday's rally? Where, you know, instead of taking questions, they just played YMCA. They played multiple songs. You know, I had a friend calling me. He goes, are you watching this? And I'm like, no. I turned it off in the middle of YMCA. Because I'm going, it's like when they play Born in the USA and don't understand what the words of the song mean. It's just one of those things. And again, I go back to, I don't like the fact that there are ignorant Americans, but here's your sign. And it's the red hat. And I don't like that. I don't want this to be our country. I want us to talk about how we're going to make lives better. How are we going to use smart policy and do good things and make lives better? Use our politics for better, for good. And yet all it is it's crazy. And Trump gets lots of attention. So what it tells us is, well, this is an us thing. We as a society want crazy. We want unhinged. We want the spectacle. We want the display, the show. And this has been, you know, years of, you know, government bashing, government can't or shouldn't do anything. And, you know, all drag it to bathtub, drown it. This is us going, we want circus. We want chaos. Because if it weren't, this wouldn't be a very close election. If sanity ruled the day, if we wanted better, if we believed our politics should be better, which everybody, when you ask them the question, says, yes, I want it to be better. I want a government that's going to work and make lives better. But clearly some of us don't. I look at Kamala Harris. She's got plans. She's out there saying, this is what we want to do. Does it get reported? No, because she's not flipping nuts. And if you had any reason whatsoever to vote for Harris in this moment, I guess that's the rave review. She's not flipping nuts. That should be the tagline. Kamala Harris, she's not flipping nuts. Bringing sanity back to our politics. Crazy times we live, folks. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Ney is going to be here to share some thoughts.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, you know, the number of ways that my Red Hat Brigade has it in their head that Trump was cheated in 2020, and somehow Kamala and what do they call Walls? I don't know. Somehow they've devised a master scheme to steal this election, because I literally had a Red Hat tell me, if Trump doesn't win, they stole it. There's no other option, because this guy believes that Trump actually won the popular vote in 2016 and 2020. Put that between your ears. But here to share some thoughts on, you know, this frame of, you know, the only way that Trump could lose is if they steal the vote, they bring illegals in and let them vote. Here to share some thoughts on what the law actually does and what it says. The guy who helped write the Help America Vote Act and the laws that we vote under today, my good friend, former Ohio congressman, and our political analyst, Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you make of this? I mean, you know, you've been around a long time. There's always been, you know, allegations of someone did this or someone did that. But ultimately, people came around to, all right, well, maybe not. This grievance, this heartfelt grievance that somehow Trump was cheated, this isn't letting go.
Well, it's not letting go in some people's minds, and it's not going to be let go in some people's minds. The stage is being set that in the event Trump loses, then, you know, he was cheated, and you're going to have that. I mean, there are going to be people that are already saying it, and they're going to say it. I was with a couple people today that are supporting Trump, and they said, you know, they didn't bring this up because there are people that don't buy into this. They just said they know it's going to be close. Now, they don't want, they were saying today, they don't want Harris to win, but they said they know it's going to be close. And they're out there that, you know, are not buying into this. But there are people in a framework here that are buying into it. And Trump is going to set that stage so that if he loses, he said, you see, I told you so. Now, I personally don't believe there will be massive violence over this. I don't believe it. America will continue one way or the other, whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. Now, how we continue is important in the voting decisions because people want America to continue on different paths, depending on what candidate they want. But the election system itself, I think, is more secure today than it's ever been. Now, issues of purging people off the ballot and when should you purge them off if they haven't voted for 4 years or, you know, those are decisions that are going to be made in the state legislatures and governed eventually, probably, I should say, not eventually, by Supreme Court decisions. The Help America Vote Act, Rick, that you mentioned, Steny Hoyer and I, who, you know, Steny is still in Congress, and our supporters in the Senate were Mitch McConnell and the late Senator Ted Kennedy, Chris Dodd. Those were three major supporters. The bill had overwhelming support. Now, why did we do that bill? We did that bill because we had obviously one of the closest elections in American history through the Florida decisions and what happened in Florida with the hanging and pregnant and dimpled chads with Bush. And of course, it was Gore v. Bush, Supreme Court decisions that had the eventual outcome. Right. So we created the Help America Vote Act, I think, and Bill Barr said it best, Donald Trump's former attorney general, the last election, that, you know, America overall was very sound. Are there going to be disputes in the election? Are there going to be some fraudulent votes? Yes. The question is, you know, do you build the better mousetraps and you feel that it's easier to vote and harder to cheat? And on that one, yes, it's easier to vote and harder to cheat. Now, I can't account for what some of the states are trying to do with the whole process, but I think that the American election system, although, you know, has some flaws, is obviously more sound than it's been
in the history of our country, I would argue, because there's so much attention on it. And it's interesting. I mean, sure. The last election, you know, a lot of the cheaters were the people who were claiming that the election was being stolen, which is just bizarre to me on a whole nother level that, you know, they are so into this, so mentally down the road that they're going to commit a crime because they believe someone else is committing a crime. It's really twisted.
Well, we see what I call the attorney's repent process, you know, from Rudy Giuliani, you know, up and down the food chain. Yep. I mean, Giuliani would do a press conference and he would say, this happened and this happened in this state. And then when he went into the court of law, he didn't bring that proposal forward. He left it at the door of the press conference.
Not a peep out of him because he understands. You say that in court.
He knew.
It's not good for you. But, you know, the thing is, and I'm looking at where we are today, and sadly, our politic is more about about personality than it is about policy. I mean, did you see on Monday night Trump's whatever that was, disco roadshow, or he literally said, let's listen to music instead of answering questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I saw it, and they had, you know, something had went on in the audience with the a medical case or
yeah,
something.
Evidently it was smoking hot in there.
Somebody passed out or something. So yes, it turned into, you know, some songs. Actually, I kind of liked a couple of them, but it turned into some songs. But look, the whole system is just bizarre.
As a politician yourself, are you ever going to stand in front of a crowd of people and go, you know what? I'd rather you hear music than what I've got to say. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, I've never done it. If I ran again, I wouldn't do it. I would, you know, I'll play a song for them if they want one, but I won't sing it, but I'll play one for them. But no, I wouldn't. I would definitely speak versus, you know, not speaking.
Because, you know, sure. I'm watching the ramblings coming out of his mouth. I'm watching all of this insanity. And in any other moment in the history of humanity, that candidate gets ousted. You never hear from them again. Some of the crazy stuff he said, you know, you want the whole country to look like Detroit? You should lose Michigan over that.
Right. Well, and look, back in 2016, I was doing 24 stations, I think, a day for Ellen Ratner at the time with Talk Media News Service. And we had to make predictions. Ellen told all the staff, you have to predict. And so my prediction a week before or so was, you know, was Donald Trump to win. I had predicted the primary. And then the Grab'em tape, you know, came out. And the next day I called in, I remember it was New Hampshire radio. And they said, well, what do you think now? And I said, Donald Trump. And they said, how can you say that? And I watched the whole scenario unfold. And normally I would say, oh, done, when, you know, when I heard that happen. And I watched the bump of Hillary Clinton, which was like 3.5 to 4 points. And then it went back. And I thought, okay, this world has changed. And it has. And the other day, I had an argument with somebody who said, well, you know, they're questioning Harris on accuracy, blah, blah, blah. And why don't they question Trump? And I said, look, we live in a world where, you know, Donald Trump can be questioned 20 times a day on everything he says. There's a different standard out there now, honestly, for Kamala Harris.
Yep.
There's a different standard. And I said, you have to understand that so you can adapt, because politics has taken, as you know, Rick, you've been in this forever as I have. It's taken the most bizarre switch and change I've ever seen. I think it'll go back sometime to normal where you do certain things and you're done
from your lips,
but not for now.
Not for now. And you know, I had someone, you know, text me on Monday night and go, hey, why is Trump getting so much time on TV and on these news outlets when he's just playing music? It's like listening to the radio. They're playing, they're covering him nonstop. And I simply said, reality is crazy sells. The most outlandish stuff. And this, Trump learned this very early on. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as they're talking about you. Good, bad, and different, doesn't matter. As long as they're focused on you, that's his politic.
Well, yeah, in the old days, ask Edwin Muskie. I think he cried once and
that was the end.
That was it. He was done. Somebody else made a statement once about somebody else that was a bit inaccurate and she was done. Today, it's different. It's just, and I think people honestly have to understand and accept that until it goes back to normal, you know, everything else is suspect, and you got to sort of campaign differently, I guess, these days.
I don't even remember what normal is at this point. What are we going back to? Because this is just, we're so far off the path. That look, at no point is he talking about policies that are going to make our lives better. I know he's got a concept of a plan, I guess. You know, there's a blank piece of paper just with a pen sitting next to it. Maybe it'll magically write on itself. But this is just bizarre to me because, again, they're not talking about how they're going to bring down inflation, get people better jobs, you know, and help with education and healthcare and nothing. It's all about him.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I believe it's a tight race. I've said this many times. And I know Donald Trump has this loyal following. I'm fully aware of that. I understand it. I got it. But as I've said many times, if he was the shock and awe candidate of the century, he would be, you know, 10 points ahead.
Yeah.
This is a razor close race. In fact, the polling is driving me insane. Because somebody asked me to do a weekly prediction of who would win. Like 1 week it would be Trump and the other week I think it's Harris. I said, you got to do an hour by hour on this thing. So, you know, it's going to be close. So I think, you know, if normalcy was out there, it may not be close. But the way things are running, it's going to be razor close.
Ultimately, you know, you know, I have, you know, people saying, well, you know, we're out there knocking on doors and we're convincing people. I'm going, there's no convincing anyone. And there, I don't believe there are any swing voters left. I don't think there's anyone who hasn't decided. The goal now is just getting people out, getting your side to the polls.
I think there's two things. I don't believe there are the, quote, undecided independent voters. I think they're practically gone, maybe 1%. I think what this is about are the soft voters for Trump and the soft voters for Kamala Harris.
It's about
to reaffirm those bases, which in a very, very close election, 2 or 3% or 4% of each candidate. And here's why I say that. Biden went from, I think it was 5% of Republicans that were, you know, soft on Trump. And I think Harris has went to now 9 or 10% of those votes. So 4% is a big deal. So each, you know, camp is trying to get those votes. I think if we want to kind of say undecided voters, I think it's in their own camps.
Right. Whether they're going to vote or not, not who they're going to vote for.
No. Right. And exactly. you just said the magic words of this election. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time for 24 years I was in office, I said, you need to get out and vote. This is about you. You know, it's true this election. This one, I mean, it was true the others, but it is true, triple true this election. It's about who gets whom out to vote.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, everyone remembers January 6th. The whole stop the steal, we're going to stop the certification of the votes, and people wanting to hang Mike Pence, and Trump saying, I guess, good. The new date that I've been hearing bounced around is December 11th. This evidently is the designated by the Constitution as the certificate of ascertainment deadline, which means we have to get those documents from the states that have the electors. Right. There are some who are telling me there's organizing going around in states to block those, to stop the steal, if you will, at the state level, so that, again, as they talked about in 2020, getting the election back to the House of Representatives, which they believe they're going to win because Republicans control 26 states, or congressional delegates, and in the Democrats only 24. Are you worried about that, or do you think that's kind of far out?
No, I think it's kind of far out. I'm not worried about a January the 6th at the Capitol anymore, because I think they got smart at the Capitol and realized, especially for this next certification in January of 2025, they need to have, you know, I don't care what it looks like, they need to have the National Guard out at the Capitol. They need to do it.
Yeah, but this what I'm hearing, Bob, is that January 6th is already too late. Right. They're talking about December 11th and saying, you know what, if the governors don't certify these electors and no one gets to 270, because you can stop a couple of states, you know, Georgia maybe, with the governor there, that it then goes to the House. The House then decides the vote. And Republicans believe that they're going to have all of their people in line to vote for Trump and so on.
Yeah, I don't believe with the closeness of the House, because the House will still be in Republican control at that time. I don't believe that the closeness of the House will allow for that to happen. That, I'm just thinking of some individual members that I just don't believe, when it gets down to it, will go along with it. I mean, there's not enough votes in the House. If they lose 3 or 4, they're done. And I think the pressure would be enormous on members to not do that.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, because you're a guy who's been around a while. You understand history a little bit. You understand how Congress works. I had posed this to a friend who's in the civics world, and I said, hey, what happens if you don't get the 270 in the states? It goes to the House and they deadlock. Does it go to the Supreme Court and they decide, or does the House maybe, you know, continue to vote, or do they come up with a third option? Is any of that likely possible? I should go with possible. Is any of that possible?
I think something ultra close is possible. We've had weirdness in the election up to this point, obviously, with the president stepping out of the election process. I mean, we've had a lot of strange things. And I would not rule out the fact that this is so razor tight that we end up in that situation. And then, you know, the House would have to try to come up with the votes to, you know, to make something happen. But if it deadlocks and ties, which it could in the House, then I think it would probably, I'm not a scholar on this, but it would kick up to the Supreme Court, I assume.
Yeah, because I was thinking back, you know, back into the 1800s, yeah, where they held multiple ballots for multiple candidates, and you finally ended up with someone who got the majority. You know, my mind goes back to, is that possible? And I don't know, but it's something I'm trying to figure out.
Right. I mean, it could. Let's hope it's not that close. Yeah. Let's hope. That would be some, that would make Gore v. Bush, Florida, look like child's play.
Look like any given Sunday. But Bob, as always, I appreciate the time. Great Thank talking you. With you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Look, I'm not saying this because I want this stuff to happen. Just asking questions, wondering, you know, is this something that's possible? Is this what the right is working for? They pay a lot of really smart people to come up with a really large number of bad ideas. This could be one of them. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, high low 60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night and early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild.
It's 39 right now.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So my grandfather always said, and look, the old dude had a line for everything. And I'll clean this up for radio because he was a truck driver. And, well, it was a colorful language. FCC would be very unhappy if I used it. He used to say that if someone's doing stuff, it's because they're doing it to you. Now you can figure out what that meant in his language, but if they're doing something, it generally means it's what they're doing and they're trying not to let you figure out. And with all of this loud and wild claims of voter fraud and cheating by the Democrats, you know, Trump, the Republicans and their flock, it kind of makes me wonder, what are they doing? They're really working hard to deflect attention away from themselves onto someone else. And that's why I've asked my next guest to come share some thoughts. He's the writer, the head guy of this new award-winning film, just out. The answers to some of these questions might be there. That's why I've asked Greg Pallas to come talk with us. Investigative journalist, New York Times best-selling author and director of Vigilantes Incorporated, America's new vote suppression hitman. Greg Pallas, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, anytime, Rick.
So let's start with congrats. I guess a new award, audience award for best feature documentary at the Press Play Prague Film Festival. Good deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously not a lot of American voters in Prague, but it's a very prestigious thing to win these awards. And what it means is that people love the film. So this is a film, Vigilantes Inc., America's new vote suppression hitman, Vigilantes Inc. And guess what? Leonardo DiCaprio has launched a website and helped us out so we can show you this film absolutely gratis. So if you go to my site, you'll see my name up here, gregpallas.com, or you can go to saveyourvote.org. Saveyourvote.org has another advantage. You can see the film Vigilantes. You can stream it for free. Saveyourvote, not save Rick's vote, not save our vote, saveyourvote.org. And the first button on there is check your registration. He's like, well, I don't have to check my registration. I've been voting in the same place for 20 years. You will see in Vigilantes, Inc., a scene, if it doesn't break your heart, you don't have a heart.
Yeah.
I'm at a polling station in Atlanta, Rick. There's a 92-year-old woman in a walker. They say she's been voting at this one voting station for 50 years. And they threw her out. They said, you're no longer on the voter rolls. Get out. They sent her out into a storm. Her granddaughter is hysterical. They have no record of her. They've eliminated her from the voter rolls. And she said, okay, I asked to go to their house down the street. Down the street was their house, the house that the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, governor, and before that as Secretary of State, Brian Kemp says she doesn't live in this house in Atlanta anymore. I went to her house. And there on the wall was a picture of her cousin, Martin Luther King. She said, King came here after every Sunday service for dinner with us. This is Martin Luther King's cousin. So my friends, if they can remove Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin from the voter rolls after 50 years, they can take you out like nothing.
Yeah.
No. And so here's the problem. In Georgia alone, they'd eliminated 250,000 voters illegally, because we went through not only her address, but 250,000 voters. The guys who work for Amazon and address verification, you know, there's a lot of Rick Smiths out there, but you never get someone else's tidy whities, do you? Because Amazon makes sure they know where you live and which Rick Smith lives where. So they said that the state of Georgia, under Brian Kemp's directive, eliminated 340,134 voters, 250,000 voters, wrongly, saying that they didn't work live at their voting addresses. And I got to tell you, you look at the list, it's all like King's cousin. Almost everyone is African-American and a few young people, a lot of students. In other words, voters of color, and the color is blue. You're going to see this in the film. By the way, you're going to see some other funny stuff. You're going to see some funny stuff, too. That's a heartbreaker. The funny stuff is actually almost would have been dangerous and could have ended up badly. For example, so why do I call it Vigilantes, Inc.? Because for the first time, and I've discussed this a couple times on the show, for the first time in 2024, there's a national campaign run by Republican fronts like True the Vote out of Texas to challenge individual voters. Now, this is the weirdest thing. I, Greg Palast, can say Rick Smith does not live in Pennsylvania. Don't let him vote. Don't count his vote. And you say, well, who are these people? Every state has a Jim Crow law left over on their books from the Jim Crow era. And no one has used it since 1946. But it allows any individual to challenge another individual's right to have their ballot counted. And they can do it right on the day before election, the day of election. And if your mail-in ballot hasn't been counted yet, they can actually challenge your ballot the day after the election.
Wow.
This is ugly. Now, how many? Well, when I first began the film, the vigilante attacks were taken out for a test drive by GOP officials in Georgia. There were 88 vigilantes who challenged 180,000 voters. Well, guess what? This year, True the Vote, that organization's mounting the vigilante challenges, they've proudly announced that as of two months ago, they had already challenged 851,000 voters, and they're heading on their way. As Martin Sheen, our producer, says, you'll hear watch the introduction from Martin Sheen at saveyourvote.org, saveyourvote.org, or gregpalast.com. And as Martin Sheen said, they expect to challenge 2 million voters by Election Day. 2 million.
Wow.
And Kamala Harris's voting rights attorney, Mark Elias, has said, this is the virus out of Georgia. The most dangerous threat to the 2024 election is this false claim. And by the way, we went through their list of challenges. Not one was an illegal voter.
Yeah.
Not one.
And no, they don't seem to be many. Let me ask you this, because, you know, I got to jump in here because, you know, you're saying that these people are, and in the movie, you do show a woman who's challenged thousands of people that she didn't know, didn't recognize, had no contact with. Why isn't there some kind of penalty? I mean, if I can just challenge everybody's vote because I don't think they live here, doesn't that destroy the system, especially if there's no retribution, no recourse if you're wrong?
You're asking me why Republicans challenge black people and get away with it. Have you seen our Supreme Court lately? It ain't Justice Brandeis here.
No, no, but here's the thing, Greg. Most people would go, well, in order to challenge the vote, you'd have to have a reason for it, and there'd have to be, if you were wrong, some kind. This is the fairness argument. I'm simply throwing this out as the fairness argument. Look, I get that racists are going to try and keep black people from voting. Get it. I get that operatives are going to try and swing and do whatever they can do to get their guy elected. But from the legal standpoint, shouldn't there be some kind of, I don't know, penalty?
Yeah, there should be a penalty for doing this. So, for example, okay, you talked about this woman who challenged that. You'll see in the film a lady in a red Nancy Reagan Republican red outfit, really elegant. She's in her antebellum Gone with the Wind mansion, and this woman personally challenged 32,000 voters. 32,000 voters. She gets the list from True the Vote, and she said it was too many names for her to even print out. So what she did was she just sent a spreadsheet to the county, to her county officials, saying, I believe these people do not live in Atlanta, in Cobb County. And so I get into her house. She didn't recognize who I was. We do undercover stuff. I won't explain how we get away with it. So we get into her house with our cameras. And I show her a photo of a young black woman, who one of her neighbors. And I said, do you recognize this woman? Oh, no. She didn't know what I was accusing her. Did you ever speak to her? Oh, no. Did you ever visit her at home? No. And I said, but you challenged her right to vote. And 32,000 other of your neighbors, almost all of them black or young voters.
And she lost her mind.
First she said, I can't call 32,000 voters. And I said, yeah, but you could challenge their right to vote. And then I said, when I mentioned that, by the way, according to Gerald Griggs of the NAACP, you have criminally violated the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. And she says, I said, you know about that? And her answer was, I'm from Canada. Not making this up. But then she suddenly flipped out. Her husband, by the way, jumps on me. I didn't put that on because it's just too much. And then she throws me out. Now, understand, you will see that she has ammo stacked to the ceiling, automatic weapons, and next to the door, a loaded AR-15, right next to her front door. I wasn't going to argue about staying there. My local camera crew fled for their lives. I can't blame them.
Yeah.
But my great photographer, Zach D. Roberts, who's co-producer, but he's used to combat work, and so the guns, he just keeps shooting.
No, he's fearless.
So she's screaming at me. Then she starts swearing at me like a sailor. I couldn't use that or I'll lose my PG rating. These are the people who are challenging voters. And instead of the Republican Party being ashamed, instead of her being punished, because who are you going to go to? The Attorney General? You're going to go to the Secretary of State of Georgia? No way. These people, this is what they want. Then we get another guy you'll see in the film who not only you'd think he's a goofball because he actually dresses like a vigilante. He likes to dress up as Doc Holliday, you know, the guy from the OK Corral, vigilante.
Reminded me of Roy Moore from Alabama.
Yeah. So he's got on cowboy boots, cowboy hats, but the main thing is he has on a holster with a pearl-handled six gun, and he told us, this is loaded. And it's like, whoa, this ain't good because of what we'd done. So he personally challenged 4,000 voters. Now, you'd think, looking at him, that he's just some kind of fruitcake, nutcake. Well, he may be, but he's also chairman of the Republican Party in that county, and he's a close friend of Brian Kemp's and the other woman in red. So he's challenged all these voters, 4,000 voters. Now, who did he challenge? Here's the tragedy. Most of the people he challenged were black soldiers out of Fort Benning, Georgia. And what he did was he said, if the soldiers, he took all these soldiers sent and said, oh, they don't live in Georgia because they're assigned. It's the war. You've got several wars going on.
Sure.
And these guys are assigned to other military bases, including Major Gamaliel Turner. Now, Gamaliel Turner, he was 70 years old. Now he's a little older. 70 years old, career military officer, America's. And by the way, our narrator is the wonderful Rosario Dawson, who explains he's one of the Pentagon's top experts on warfare of the future. And he's assigned to California. So he's supposed to get an absentee ballot. You know that if you're a soldier assigned to another base out of your home base, and he has a home, beautiful home in Georgia. If you're assigned out of your home base, you're supposed to get an absentee ballot. Even, by the way, Rick, even if you're a black soldier, you're allowed a ballot.
Absolutely.
Can you believe that? They even allow black soldiers. I guess this guy never heard of that. So
let me ask you this, because I get where you're going with all this. But, you know, this woman who, you know, the 32,000, this guy with the 8,000, these people didn't just pick these names out of a hat.
No,
these people weren't sitting in their computer at 3 o'clock in the morning searching the voter rolls. These aren't industrious people. These are people who just slapped their name on something and were doing what they were told, as I understand. Or am I wrong?
Yes. No, you got it correctly. So they have a system. Okay, it's the group. Through the Vote is the main vigilante organization, but some imitators, unfortunately, have popped up with hundreds of thousands, including Cleta Mitchell, Trump's attorney, founded a group called Eagle AI. And they've already challenged 10,000 people in Florida as of a few months ago. God knows how many they've challenged now. But I got to tell you that. So this group, True the Vote. Now, they're the guys who came up with that whack film, 2000 Mules, which was launched by Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He's behind this group. He's pushing them. And what they do is they create lists of people to remove from the voter rolls for every county in America. And what they've done is this time, unlike 4 years ago where they only targeted Georgia, this time they've targeted 43 states, mostly operating the swing states. And they went from 88 challengers in Georgia. Are you ready? 40,000 vigilantes have signed up. I know that 8,500 have already mounted challenge. 8,500 self-proclaimed vote fraud hunters. And here's the tragedy. Of the 850,000 people who've already been challenged, and it's probably double as we speak, I'd say that 98% have no idea their vote has been challenged. No idea that their vote, that if they mail in, if they get their absentee ballot and they mail in, it will not be counted. Now, these counties are supposed to send out postcards to you. If they do, it's junk mail. You'll never see it or respond. Most counties have no process. Plus, if they can actually challenge you the day before the election, the county has 30 days to tell you your vote's been challenged. By that time, your vote has not been counted and the election is over. That's why I tell you to go to either gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST, gregpalast.com. Stream the movie. But if you go to saveyourvote.org, check your registration. And here's the one good bit of news, because people are always saying, what can you do? In the swing states of Nevada, Michigan, and Wisconsin, you can register on election day. So when they say you've been challenged, the nice lady behind the counter, don't argue with her. In those three states, please say, I want to register right now, and then give me my ballot. I'm not going to argue with you about whether I'm a legit voter, but I am going to say I'm registering right now. Now, you still have the problems of Georgia, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, and others. So you have to check your registration. If you're marked as challenged, they may not even mark it as challenged. I mean, this is the problem. But if they mark it as challenged, your name is missing from the voter rolls, please contact your county. Let me give you a couple of this. Count your county elections office. If that doesn't give you joy, we have a number on our site for teams of lawyers who will act for you. Now, I got to tell you, but then there's also the link to stream the film for free. And Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jackson, just spoke to me a couple weeks ago. He met with President Biden and Kamala Harris and told them, you got to watch Greg Palast's film, Vigilantes, and you got to do something about it. So if Kamala Harris and President Biden are going to be watching the film on their busy schedules, you take out your time. But here's the good thing. Get the popcorn. It's an actual real movie. That's why we're winning all these audience choice awards, because it's not your PBS white guys in front of bookcases documentary. I know I'm a white guy in front of the bookcase right now. but we don't have that in the film. So it's you'll get the guy with the guns and the crazy lady, and you'll also meet Major Turner's family. You'll meet Martin Luther King's cousin. It's a real movie, and I want you to go watch that and then send the link to everyone you know, because there's no charge. George DiCaprio, Leonardo's dad, is one of my producers. My favorite president produced this. Martin Sheen, President Bartlett, is the other producer. And Maria Florio, who's already won her Academy Award for Best Documentary. This will be her second. So catch this film, because it's a weapon. And we are working tightly with Rainbow Push, NAACP, Black Voters Matter, and other voting rights organization to get this thing out.
Right. So I get this straight. GregPalace.com. If you want to see it for free, SaveYourVote.org. Check your registration. See the movie for free. Or if you're in Madison, Wisconsin, if you're listening to us on WMDX 92.7, 1580 AM in Madison, the Barrymore Theater on October 17th. If you're in Atlanta, listening to us on WQEE 99.1, the Cultural Center in Norcross, the Norcross Cultural Center.
Yes.
If you're in Chicago,
that's October 25 at the Norcross Center. We're going to have, by the way, the voting rights leadership of Atlanta, which is, fantastic people. So please get there that's 9 p.m. on October 25th in Atlanta. And then we will be in Chicago on October 21st.
There you go.
At Rainbow Push. And then there's going to be an online showing on Free Speech TV, which will be hosted by the wonderful Tom Hartman.
There you go. Well, you got all of that out for me, and I appreciate it. Good stuff. Greg, great movie. I hope people will go to SaveYourVote.org and look at it and learn from it, and then check their own registrations. Maybe we can stem the tide of theft of people's votes. Greg, thanks so much, man.
You're the best.
Again, Greg Palace, GregPalace.com. Check out the website. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Does it make sense that any one person can challenge thousands of people's vote that they don't even know? Shouldn't there be some penalty for being wrong? Maybe this is what we start moving on very soon. Want to hear your thoughts? Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1979. That was the day that the United Nations established the idea of holding an annual World Food Day. The aim of the day is to bring global attention to the problem of hunger and build international solidarity to fight the problem. The first World Food Day was observed 2 years later. One feature of the day is a teleconference that brings together some of the world's top experts in the field of agriculture, nutrition, and human rights. Each year, a different theme is chosen for the day. For the first 2 years, the theme was simple: food comes first. In 1984, the chosen theme was Women in Agriculture. Women were again the focus in 1998 with the theme Women Feed the World. In 1986, the day featured fishermen and fishing communities. Small farmers were the theme in 1987. And in 2014, the theme was Family Farming, Feeding the World, Caring for the Earth. That year, the United Nations declared 2014 International Year of Family Farming. A UN report found that 500 million family farms make up over 98% of farming holdings and were responsible for at least 56% of agricultural production. In the United States, family farmers produced 84% of all produce. The website for the 2014 World Food Day in the United States and Canada recognized the importance of family farm workers. It stated, quote, "And yet, despite their critical importance, a large majority of family farmers are among the world's most vulnerable populations. Ironically, it's not uncommon for many of the families who produce food to actually go hungry themselves. Today, on World Food Day, take a moment and thank a farmer."
You You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So saveyourvote.org. That's where you should be going to check your registration. Look, we don't know how many states this purging is going on. I just checked mine. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to check it again. But check your registration. Make sure you're registered. And then make sure you get out and vote. And while you're at saveyourvote.org, take a look at Greg's movie, Vigilante Incorporated. Well worth the hour plus to see the kind of shenanigans that they're pulling. The fact that one person, this is amazing to me, the fact that one person can challenge the votes of tens of thousands of others and there be no repercussion for being wrong. I think they should be suing this woman for defamation and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of lawsuits. Because if you're going to make that kind of claim, you better darn well be right. So for me, I'm hoping someone does. But here's the thing, you know, as we talked about earlier, and I'm hoping there's a civics professor out in the audience somewhere who can give me some thoughts on the potential of what happens if. What happens if Georgia, for instance, and Governor Kemp, because they changed the law with SB 202 to take powers away from the local elections officials and put it in the hands of the state, if the governor doesn't certify by December 11th, and what I think it's what the 17th is when all that's they meet in the Capitol, when the electors who are certified by the governor must meet in the Capitol. So if they're not certified, they don't get to meet. If you don't get the 270, Trump's already told us what he wants. Don't get the 270, get it back to the House of Representatives, where they know that Republicans control 26 congressional delegations to Democrats 24. So they believe they'll win. They believe all the Republicans will be on board. But what if one doesn't? And we end up 25-25. What then? Does it go to the Supreme Court? I don't know how. Or does it become a situation where you now start doing some horse trading? Well, let's see who I don't know, and that's why I'm asking. If there is a civics professor out there, if there's someone, a historian out there, if you've got a thought, email me at rick@thericksmithshow.com, because it's just something that popped into my head. I'm going, you know, I know they pay really smart people a lot of money in these right-wing think tanks to dream up bad ideas, to dream up the worst scenarios possible for humanity and for democracy, but that benefit them. Think John Eastman. Think the scheme the last time around. I'm kind of curious. I'm curious of where this could take us. Because the right, they don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in the sanctity of the ballot box. And they'll tell you the only outcome they care about is if Trump wins. What the will of the people want, that be damned. The governed want, that be damned. It's their power that they're in lust with. And they'll go to, and you know, the means justify the ends in every scenario. So for me, I look at this and I'm like, we have to start preparing for every possible scenario. But first, again, I go back to make sure you're registered. And make sure you're going to vote, because this election, as I talked about earlier with Bob Ney, is not about swinging voters one way or the other. Everyone's made up their mind. There are no unicorns out there who don't have a thought on this. It's about getting your people to the polls and ensuring that they are going to be able to vote. And Republicans have already, they've already got their game plan, and that's suppress the number of votes. That's keeping people off the rolls. Kick as many off as you can, Georgia being the home of it. But as Greg Palast pointed out, that's finding its way across the country. Could happen in a state like yours. That's why we check our registration. That's why we ensure that we are registered to vote, that our vote's going to be counted, and that we cannot do it. Simple. As always, I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Thank you to everyone who have been sending us notes and thoughts. Thank you. If you want to send Carol, my wife, a card, as we are struggling with her situation, you can mail it to us at Carol Smith at P.O. Box 1026, Carlisle, Pennsylvania 17013. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. DM me through social media, all of those ways gets to me. I will read her, and I do read her every correspondence, and I want to thank everybody for it. As always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@therickssmithshow.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.